So, we're now going to have our reading.
We're going to come to the reading in a moment, but I wonder if you might have a think, and maybe some of the younger ones here might think about this as well, this question. You don't have to talk amongst yourselves with this one, you'll be pleased to know. But just to have a think, have you ever been saved from something terrible? Guys in the front, have you ever been saved from something terrible? Have a think about that. Maybe it's from getting lost. Maybe someone has stopped you from running out in front of a car onto the road. Maybe you've had a really big fall and you needed someone to come and help you. With seven children, we've done all of those three things and quite a few others. Anyone else want to offer a time where maybe you were in a really tight situation and someone saved you? Rachel?
I was bound up by a brown snake.
By a brown snake. You were saved from a brown snake. Someone banging the ground and distracting brown snakes. Yes, they're pretty aggressive. Thank you. Lizzie? Now, I heard horse. Maybe... Bubbles can tell us a bit more. She cracked her, yes, and she needed someone to come and help. Oh, Lizzie caught her. Lizzie was caught by Mum when she was falling off a horse. I'll grab that microphone off you, Charlie, as well, please, if that's all right. Any other near misses? Any other? Elaine? Oh, Elaine was saved at Go Ape. She put the clip in the wrong thing and was just hanging, dangling. Don't laugh, that's not very nice. It was okay. Oh, she laughed. David?
I had so many things in my life which have been very near to death. My father used to say, a cat's got nine lives, I've used up my life.
Well, we're very pleased you're still here with us, David. But David's had a few near misses, quite a few.
Dave and I were saved in a storm.
Saved in a storm. Were you on, let me guess, were you on a boat at the time?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, and you committed your life to the Lord at the time, so it would have been, I expect, quite a scary situation, but what a wonderful outcome. Sarah?
So, I was giving birth to my daughter, I had high blood pressure, and with intravenous drugs and tablets, brought my life back to normal.
Yeah. Scary. Yeah. That's right. And maybe some of us are sitting here and we don't have, actually... one of those near misses that we can share, but maybe we've heard about people who have been saved, and we see it quite often on our news. I'm wondering if maybe the young ones too might look up the, especially those fine strapping boys in the front who are doing an amazing job colouring, but maybe they could look at the screen as well. Do you know who these people might be? I wonder, does anyone know who these people might be? I'll just come in. Who said that? Oh, well done, Jacob. Three miners. Dave?
South America,
yeah, Chile. Yeah, that's right. Did you hear about this? 33 miners. It was back in 2010, the year the boys were born, just a little bit before the boys were born. Got trapped for 69 days. 69 days in a mine. I don't know whether this is going to come up okay. There's an image of the mine. Mind you, the mine was open in the 1800s, so that's how old the mine was. So I don't know whether I would have been going down there in the first place, but... On August the 5th, 2010, the mine caved in and it trapped the 33 men. You can't really see it on there, but actually, I don't know if you can see the white boxes, and the one on the bottom right is pointing to where they were trapped. And on the 7th of August, so just two days later, another cave-in happened, and the ventilation shaft that would have been the only route to get to them caved in as well. But on the 22nd of August, the people on the surface, I did write it down here, can't remember how deep it was. It was pretty deep. But the people on the surface heard a tapping noise. Because they'd put down a little scope, and they pulled the scope up, and on the end of the scope was a little note saying, "All 33 of us are okay. We're in the shelter." Over 17 days prior to this, they had to survive on drinking water from radiators and from a little spring that was just providing a little bit of water. But it was so hot, 35 degrees, that's 95 in old language. Most developed fungal infections that were quite serious because of the conditions they were in. But at least now they could get some gel that just gave them some nutrients, some water and some communication devices. But they'd have to wait. It was going to be December. But I guess you could call it a miracle. By the 9th of October, one of three drilling bores was, this is amazing, they'd managed to drill this bore that actually sent a capsule down. And on the 12th of October, the rescue worker was lowered. And just after midnight, the first worker was drawn to the surface. These men, I think you could probably say, were helpless and completely unable to save themselves. I wonder how you would have felt during that ordeal. Scared. I wonder how you would have felt when contact was made with the outside world, when the rescuer arrived, when you finally made it to the surface. Over the last few weeks and months, we've been looking at the Bible, haven't we? And we've learned that it's not only trapped miners, who need to be saved. The Bible teaches us that everyone who has ever lived or who will ever live is facing death, separated from God because of sin. And we've learned, haven't we, by looking at what the Bible says, what Jesus says, that the reason for this is despite being created, the world being created as a perfect world, with a perfect relationship with God, the aim for humanity, people from the beginning have decided to do things their own way. They've disobeyed God. And so the Bible says, all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And the Bible also says that like those miners trapped in that shaft, there is nothing we can do about it, left to our own devices. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes in his letter, thanks Anna, to an early Christian congregation in the city of Ephesus. Just have a look at these first three verses with how Paul describes it.
Ephesians 2:1-3. In the past you were dead because you sinned and fought against God. You followed the ways of this world and obeyed the devil. He rules the world, and his spirit has power over everyone who doesn't obey God. Once we were also ruled by the selfish desires of our bodies and minds. We had made God angry, and we were going to be punished like everyone else.
You can stay there, Anna, if that's okay, because we're going to have a look at some good news in a minute, because that's not great, is it? Did you notice what Paul said? Those who have sinned against God are spiritually dead. We can have no relationship with a holy God. We're separated from him. Paul says we are all equally in exactly the same situation. we all need a super saviour to save us from the terrible situation we're in. But here's the good news from the Bible for us to hear and understand today.
But God was merciful. We were dead because of our sins, but God loved us so much he made us alive with Christ. And God's gift of undeserved grace is what saves you. God raised us from death to life with Christ Jesus, and he has given us a place beside Christ in heaven. God did this so in the future world, he could show how truly good and kind he is to us because of what Christ Jesus has done. You were saved by faith in God, who treats us much better than we deserve. This is God's gift to you, and not anything you have done on your own. It isn't something you have earned, so there's nothing you can brag about. God planned for us to do good things and to live as he has always wanted us to live. This is why he sent Christ to make us what we are.
Thanks, Anna. Did you see what Paul said after helping us to understand the situation we're in, separate from God? Did you notice how amazingly good news this is? And Paul wants us here today to hear that same message. God, in his great love for his creation, sent his only beloved Son, Jesus, to save all those who are dead in their sins. Why? To bring them back to life, spiritually. Jesus, Paul says, Jesus says, is the super saviour that everyone needs. He is the only one who is able to save us from the situation we are in. And we've seen, haven't we, those of us over the last few weeks who've been taking a closer look at what the Bible says, we've seen that because of one perfect man, Adam, humanity has fallen into sin. And therefore one perfect man, Jesus, had to receive punishment for that sin. Because really, if God is a just God, he couldn't really ignore what happened. We were talking about it in Pathfinders, weren't we? One of the Pathfinders girls isn't here today, but we were sharing, weren't we, Anna, how I wonder how we would feel if we were in a classroom. And our teacher was there, the adult was in the room, and there was, let's just say, should we say a girl for a change? Because it's usually the boys, isn't it? But boy or girl, it doesn't really matter. But someone's flicking a paperclip with an elastic band, and it's hitting you in the face. And the teacher just stands there and does nothing. How would you feel about the teacher? Well, one of our girls at Pathfinder said, well, I'd be very angry and I would go and speak to the principal about it. And I thought, yeah, that sounds fair. But we know God has decided to do something about it, because it's all very well us saying, oh, well, it's up to me, I can do whatever I want. But our sin impacts everyone, doesn't it? And God said, no, that's not how things should be. I'm going to have to do something about this. But I still love the people that I've created. How can I deal with this in a way that doesn't harm the creation that I love? And he said, I know. I will go. And God was born in flesh, as a baby, Jesus. And we all know what happened, don't we? We know that God decided that Jesus, as he died on the cross, God himself would take the punishment for disobedience that we deserved so that we didn't have to. And that's what we call amazing grace. Think of that. The Bible says Jesus, who didn't do anything wrong, perfect human being, there was no sin in him, and yet he died a death he didn't deserve, so that we didn't have to. And we've been learning, haven't we, that at Jesus' death there was a great swap that took place. Jesus took the punishment that he didn't deserve, He took that punishment, he took that sin from us and he bore it. But we get something too, and that is what we call righteousness. We get his perfect, sinless righteousness. We still sin, but when God looks at us, he takes what Jesus did and the credit that that gave us, and he looks at us and he sees that, even though we still sin. He sees what Jesus did on our behalf, and we can be in relationship with him only because of what Jesus did. Our faith in Jesus means that spiritually, God takes our unclean hearts. Have you got your unclean hearts there? They're a little bit broken and battered, and we feel a bit broken and battered, don't we? We get hurt. We get angry. Life is unfair. People treat us without consideration. And we respond and we react. We try to make it right, but we sometimes often just make it worse. And the Bible says that Jesus, when he died, took all our brokenness, all our sin upon himself, and we got, in exchange, his righteousness. As God looks on us, he sees Jesus. And because of that, we can have a relationship with God the Father. And there's this beautiful verse. It's in the Old Testament. And the prophet Ezekiel, a promise from God, he takes our broken hearts. And it says, I will give you a clean heart in its place. And because of that, and only because of that, can we have a relationship with the living God, the creator of the universe, and look forward to eternity with him when we die. And when someone gets baptized, as Lily Rose will very, very soon, I promise you, her parents, because she, although she's great, because she answered a question, didn't she? She said the fireman before, so she's very intelligent. But at the moment, her parents are speaking on her behalf, and they are saying that they want her to be a member of God's family. They are agreeing with what the Bible says about who Jesus is. Jesus said once, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah. You are the Saviour. And so through baptism, whether we're an adult speaking for ourselves or a child who our parents speak for on our behalf, we are saying yes to Jesus. She will have to confess her faith herself when she gets old enough to understand and to work that all out herself so that she can put her trust in Jesus. But through baptism, her parents for the time being are saying yes to what God has promised for all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Only in and through faith in Jesus can we spiritually die to sin. And that's why, we're not going to do this today, but that's why a person, an adult, goes under the water. They say goodbye to their old life and they rise up again as a new creation. We're just going to sprinkle today. Don't panic. Don't panic. It's fine. No dunking today. But it's all symbolic of saying goodbye to the old, hello to the new. Death to the old ways, rising as new creations, sons and daughters of the living God, with eternity the free gift given to those who become through faith children of God. The darkness of our broken and divided hearts transformed by the light that Jesus brings. And as the Spirit, the free gift of God, works in our lives, we start to live for God as the gift of his Spirit transforms our character and our ability to stand with and for God and no longer for ourselves and this world. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that like the miners trapped in that space, hundreds and hundreds of meters below the ground, you have provided for us a way out. There is nothing we can do to change the fact that we are imperfect human beings. But we thank you that by your grace, you have offered us the free gift of eternity with you, the free gift of your Spirit, that moment we put our faith in Jesus as our Saviour and as the one for whom we now live and worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to get ready for the baptism.